We are now joined on Wise Up Episode 4 by Suzette Munson and Hannah Rainey. We just wrapped up the ghost walk on the historic Decatur Town Square. Probably butchered that name, but we'll get it right at some point in this podcast. You know, now that we've gone through kind of the paranormal history of the town square, I want to ask the hardest hitting question of this evening. Are ghosts real?
It depends on your attitude. Depends on what you're looking for. A lot of people think they don't believe in ghosts, but they believe in something. And my feeling is it's energy. We have energy in our bodies, and when we pass, we leave energy behind. And some of us leave more than others. And so some of them will interact with us, like a one that will answer questions. Some are residual that do the same motion over and over on a daily basis. And then there's some that you know they're there, but they don't do anything other than maybe move a window or shake a curtain or something, but they don't interact with you in any physical way.
Well, Suzette, I know that you're a paranormal investigator.
Right.
You've been doing this for quite some time. Can you tell me when you first started on this journey?
It's been about 20 years. Actually, my daughter went on her first ghost hunt in college, and she came home and told me we can do it better than they can. And we started just looking for places that we didn't know if they were haunted or not. We just went to see what was there, the history. And then we started being in contact from people who thought they had ghosts in their house. And sometimes you would prove to them that they didn't, but they were convinced that they wanted it there. So it was a journey, learning, you know, how to handle those situations. And then we like to see what's out there. There's something out there. So it was just it's just progressed over the years. And sometimes we may not go anywhere for a year, and then we'll start doing a whole lot. It just depends on what's happening, you know. It's just something that I feel compelled to do. I have a question, and I want it answered.
I feel like it's part curiosity, part trying to, you know, uncover a story, mm-hmm. which I think we might relate with. But also, I mean, there's got to be something that that keeps you going, that keeps you looking and searching. Have you experienced anything along your journey that, you know, kind of was a reminder that, like, you might be onto something here?
Yes. You'll always have questions. You're not going to always answer all your questions. But, yes, I had done this for almost 15 years before I ever was touched. So you don't go into situations expecting things to happen, because it may not. Then after the first time, then I had a second time. And I don't know if it's a change in me or exactly, but I feel like maybe I'm more open and I'm allowing things to come to me, and that makes a difference. Takes some of the fear out of it. And but I don't know, I'm crazy about the history. I love the history. 99% of what we do is history, and 1% is out there making a fool of ourselves, asking questions to a wall or something, you know. And the fun part is when you think you get an answer, and the real fun is when you get an EVP. And having a recorded word or sound is just crazy. I went with the messenger to the Brown Hotel, and we had an instance there. That was my first time to ever really have contact. And my body temperature dropped to 68, and I had to leave the room. I had to walk out because it got a hold of me. It wasn't ugly. It was just cold, uncomfortable. So a couple of weeks later, my granddaughter wanted to go over there. So I called and made arrangements where we could go. And she is an autistic child. And once she starts talking, she talked to this entity for about 45 minutes. I don't know if there was any contact or not, but I came into the room and I said, we're going to close up. We need to come on upstairs. We're starting to take apart equipment. So she, you hear her walk out, you hear me walk out. And as we leave, you can hear us going up the stairs, you hear a deep, I said, she talked the ghost to death. So those kind of reactions are what make you want to go back and see if you can get something else.
Well, I think that's what's so interesting about this recent project, this recent collaboration between yourself and the Wise County Historical Society, is that balance between the lore and the history. And from what I understand, you've been researching the square for the past 6 months, basically doing a deep dive into pretty much every building, and it's, you know, and there's a lot of interesting stories, you know, from, you got bootleggers, you got Frank at the Sweetie Pies busting in for some snacks at the walk-in freezer every now and then. Some interesting stories that have kind of been kind of, I guess it's almost like word of mouth.
They are word of mouth, and it's been amazing the integrity of the people who are coming in to tell me these stories. This is not somebody just telling ghost stories. These are people who have reputations of being very honest and very above board, and they're coming and telling me the stories. And that is what really gives me, I want to go back, I want to get more. And more stories keep coming in, and that's what's fun. The more stories we get, the better it is.
So, Hannah, kind of how did you come on board with this? And I think it's kind of part of how the Historical Society is renewing their efforts and finding ways to get outreach into the community, even though, you know, obviously the museum was lost in the fire.
Oh, of course. We actually had this idea last year. And that's how me and her started to connect, was I had questions, you know, like about ghosts and everything, and she would come up and we would just talk for hours and hours about it. And, you know, I'm not considering myself as a believer, but I enjoy, like she says, the journey and the chase of the history behind all of it. And I recently went on my, another ghost walk in Mineral Wells, and she basically went through the whole historic journey and how it comes to be, right? And I was like, that's the perfect segue for us. That would be, because, you know, hundreds of people came to that. And I knew if we can get at least of some people, you know, this could outreach us and this could touch more young people in our community as well. And so we're trying our hardest to kind of adapt and just kind of find new ways to kind of bring new events. And especially now, since we don't have the museum, this would be a great way to still be able to have events. And so we just wanted to bring out, you know, kind of more outreach.
Well, it's a great way to disguise a history lesson.
Yes, that is very true. That is very true. Because, you know, it's always cool because you have those older folk that are always like, ghost walk? And I'm like, it's really a historic, you know, walk. And then, you know, the young people, it's a historic walk. And then I'm like, no, it's ghost walk. So, you know, you just adapt it to everyone and it's just awesome. It's fun. So, but yeah.
So Suzette is our, well-versed in all things paranormal. And you're more of the... I don't want to say you're a novice at this.
Very new.
But do you find yourself being more compelled with, you know, the paranormal? Or what's your experience been like since you jumped on board with this as far as your belief in it?
Well, like, in general, I still love the chase. I haven't had anything done to... I'm a very much of I have to see it to believe it kind of person. And you can't be like that if you're going right. to be in a paranormal activist. So I understand that completely. But I believe firmly, I see it, I believe it. And she's going to take me on a trip. So it may happen. You never know. But, over time, just uncovering all this history. First of all, we find... you know, a little darker side of Decatur in a way, but it's just, it's very interesting, and yeah, it does become more compelling as you go. So,
well, I think, you know, I consider myself a skeptic towards paranormal things until I'm like, it's like 1 a.m. and I hear a bang in the house. Then yeah. I'm fully convinced this fear, the anxiety takes over. That, yeah, ghosts are 100% real. Something's happening in my house right now when it's really probably just, you know, the roof rattling or something. But I think, you know, from an early age, there is something to that, to the kind of that unknown, that chase. Like when I was a kid, I think we had a Tutty Ruxpin doll. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's basically a doll or a teddy bear that would my sister would use. I guess it sang a song, like a lullaby or something. Mm-hmm. But it went off in the middle of the night. Very, it, like, it was animated. Like, it had its eyes opened and everything. So very, very disturbing. But is that kind of part of kind of what you experience as a paranormal investigator? People sharing those, mm-hmm. all those kind of stories. And kind of what are some of the most interesting that you've heard over the years?
Well, recently we took a trip down to Fort Worth to Miss Molly's Hotel. It's the most haunted hotel in Fort Worth. And it was a brothel. And so all the stories about the cowboys and everything, and one person that went with us, he said the reason he wanted to go was because he looked in the front window and he saw a cowboy standing at the top of the stairs. And he kept banging on the window trying to get his attention. And then he turned to his wife and he says, I don't know why he won't come down here and talk to me. And she goes over and looks, just because there's nobody up there. So I was intrigued then. I wanted to go see. Well, I haven't seen the cowboy, but I have had some other interactions there. And we were there. They had had a big weekend. It was very, very busy. The whole hotel only has 10 rooms. They were all full. And we went on Monday night instead of over the weekend because Mondays are slow. And we go in, and we can't get a reaction out of anything. We'd been there before, so we knew there should be something, and we couldn't get a reaction at all. My conclusion was the ghosts were tired. They'd been overworked. So the next morning, I'm sitting in the, they have a, like a setting room with a TV and everything, and there's motion detectors sitting on one of the beds in a bedroom. And the TV's off, I'm just sitting there, my husband's off doing something, and another couple hadn't come out of the room, and the innkeeper's still in her room. I'm just kind of sitting there, and all of a sudden the motion detectors go off, and there are two different motion detectors that are in this bedroom. One is there all the time, and one is one that I had put in there. There was no airflow in there, no ceiling fan, nobody walked through it, nothing. So I go in and I start having a question and answer with supposedly a little girl who was born in that room and died in that room. And I was asking her questions like you would ask a child. Do you like pancakes for breakfast? Do you like milk? Had you rather have chocolate milk? You know, these kind of things. And I was getting responses on the EMF meter. So I don't know what I was getting. I don't know if it really was a little girl or not. But it was fun, and it gave you, you know, you were getting some kind of reaction. And but I do believe that there is something that causes it to answer those. There wasn't that much, as I showed you, the leaky EMF around sockets, lighting, things like that. So I don't know. But I do know that it's fun. It's safe, mostly. Now, there are going to be some people who go looking for, well, one particular group on television that go looking for the bad stuff. You get what you look for. That's what I say with this. As long as you keep it fun and keep an open mind, you'll have a lot of fun and you'll come home and you'll be fine.
I think one interesting commonality that I didn't expect to get from this that we, you know, share is journalists and y'all as, or you as a paranormal investigator, as you talked about, you know, the chase, right? And I think for, at least for me personally, that time that it leads up, you know, building your story and, you know, meeting your sources and getting quotes, or if it's like a breaking news story, like there's a chase element to that too. And I think it's really cool that kind of these two absolutely separate things, you know, ghosts and newspaper. They almost find this common ground. I think that we've found this in this podcast. Another thing that kind of brings it back home here at the Messenger is we have our own paranormal history here around this building.
Yeah, it was kind of messed up how a lot of the tour centered around our current workplace.
But isn't that fun? Now, do you plan on being here at 2 o'clock in the morning putting a bit, putting the paper to bed?
It happens more often than you think.
And we hear things, you know? Yeah, you hear things sometimes. It could be somebody dumpster diving. Could be a ghost from the old prison jail cells.
You never know. They can move around, so, you know. But another thing is, why not investigate? Some night we come in, we sit down with you, and we just see what we can, if we can get anything.
Y'all can help copy edit too.
we have voice recorders. You know, there's several pieces of equipment that are fun. Anytime you have a question, like you say you hear something at home every once in a while, set up a camera or a voice recorder and just let it run. And then go back and listen to it. You never know what you're going to hear. Hmm. You never know what you're going to hear.
Well, I think it's evident that you have put a lot of work into studying the history of the square. Kind of how have you and maybe Hannah kind of collaborated on kind of getting that information?
Well, there's several publications, and of course I use some Messenger publications through the years that we've collected, and the book that the Main Street is selling has a lot of good information. It is just the facts. There's very little anecdotes in it. And so I had to go out and start asking for people to tell the stories and literally walk the street asking people if they knew of any story about their building. And some did and some didn't. Some refused to talk about it. Some were like, you know, thought I was a little bit crazy. I figure, what was that?
I think you have a ghost around.
I think you got a squeaky something. But it's just asking questions. And you as reporters know, you know, when you ask somebody a question, they're either going to answer or they're not. You're going to get a yes or a no. That's what you do with ghost hunting. You just ask questions. You're either going to get an answer or you won't.
Well, Hannah, from kind of knowing a little bit about it beforehand, but also just being reminded of it like 30 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
The square does have kind of a violent and interesting history. Kind of, is that something that drew you toward, you know, maybe not the violence, but just the interesting nature of Wise County's history? Is that something that's attracted you to?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the whole thing. I grew up here, so that's the first thing that attracted me to it. But it's the uncovering of, you know, small town gossip, rumors, and just the overall truth of what has happened here is just very interesting to me. And a lot of people think, you know, Dallas, you know, they have a lot of stuff. And I was like, no, go to a small town. I dare you. Go to a small town, go to their small town museum. You'll find as much murder and mayhem almost. Of course, we're not as big, but, you know, it's just, you know, the stories that we went over just today, it's just, they blew me away. And I've been hearing like bits and pieces from them, from like Carrie Clower and like other people that have just passed it down. But Suzette was able to iron out the facts and the full story, which was very nice.
Yeah. When I talked to some of the people, one gentleman told me like the story of the Blackburn family. He said, I want to give you the true story. And so we have compressed it for the tour tonight, but I have the full story. And I was allowed to record them. And so that's very important for the museum to have that vocal history. And, you know, to get the stories right is what we wanted to do.
And I've joked about her because she'd done all this research. I was like, you need to write a book that says The Dark Side of Decatur. It will be sold out. I'm not even joking.
Put me on the wait list right now.
Well, and just remember, we're just on the square.
Exactly. Just think about, like, the other towns. Oh my gosh, like Wise County.
It's like, spread out is like, exactly. Like you're saying, you know, the Dallas or just the Metroplex in general. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's got a lot of history, but it's all like, you know, bunched together. I think when you get to these small towns or spread out counties, the lore like only increases with the you know, it's just a more Western, which I think is a really good angle from this, you know, small town paranormal history, if you will.
Oh, for sure.
I feel like the lore is the fun of it. I think it, it's part of our storytelling, you know, just not just as people, you know, having that, like, yeah, the, like, if you come to a new job or whatever, yeah, you hear about this haunted newsboy, you know, and, you know, it just becomes kind of this shared experience that people pass on.
And that's actually, like, a new, I wouldn't say it's a new term, but, you know, over time, it's called oral history. And I, you know, at UNT, they've started a program, I think, over there, you know, they interview people. And it's just amazing. And we've started doing that here. And that's wonderful. That's something that we can look back on, which is really cool. And so we can have that on a flash drive now, not on paper. And so we can just have that. It's just great. So,
yeah. And part of that, part of the tour was our a haunted newsboy, right? But there was a kind of a, you know, a dead end to the trail because it was, you know, they were in a different office building at the time, right? So what do I need to look out for? I need to look out for any piece of equipment that may have been.
I would look for any piece of equipment. Of course, you have probably have papers that go back a long ways. And usually an entity will attach to something. If that's why he's here, he's making sure the paper is just like it was, like it's supposed to be. And, you know, it could be a typewriter. It could be, I know they moved printing presses over here at one time. Sure, those are gone, but they were moved over here at one time. So there may be something else that was moved that we don't know about. Mm. But usually if it moves, it there's something that brought it over here. Yeah. Mm.
So interesting. Interesting.
And the interesting thing about that is with the museum, I investigated the museum three times because people would think something was going on. And we never got an EVP. We never got anything. And one night we spent 3 hours in the Lost Battalion room. And my feeling was if there was anything, it would have been in that Lost Battalion room. And we didn't find anything. Now, we didn't handle some of the artifacts. That might have been, if we'd have touched it, it might have been different. But we didn't find anything.
I have a hilarious story about trying to ghost hunt in the museum. Oh, my. I don't know if I told you this, but Carrie Clower, at the very beginning, we decided to do a docent training, right? And so, basically, he took us on a tour, and I decided to record the whole thing. And we went up to the third floor, and that was my favorite one because it actually had a very unique cabinet of World War II memorabilia. So I was like, it's already really cool. And so I started recording it, and I went, and of course, I listened to the recording at like midnight. Don't ever do that. So all of a sudden, I'm writing down my notes, and all of a sudden, I get this eerie alien sound that came on the recording, and for the longest time, I thought I caught it. Like, I was like, okay, there's something going on here. There's something fishy. And I talked to everybody about it, and one of our volunteers actually came up, and she started talking, and I noticed that her hearing aid made this very interesting sound that I heard on the recording. And I was like, well, that just debunked everything.
Oh, you're almost fully converted.
Right?
I'm a believer.
I can't tell you, like, I even, like, reached out to, like, YouTuber. I was like, oh, my God, just guess what happened. You know, I reached out to everyone. I think I found it. I cracked it. And it, no. Just totally flopped. I was, like, so sad.
We went on a guided ghost tour in Salt Lake City. I'll never forget. And being a ghost hunter, I had my daughter-in-law had asked me to bring my equipment just as a lark. Well, when we get there, they're handing out equipment, you know. And I said, oh, I brought my own. Yeah. And the guy looks at me, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So anyway, they took us in front of a municipal building, and they were talking about high EMFs, that this was really a bad place, and there were lots of ghosts there because they got a lot of EMF activity. And my son punched me in the elbow, and he said, look on the ground, Mom. And it said, high power lines
go under the street, you know.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
But they were selling it as high EMF. And, you know, and of course, I couldn't debunk it, you know. The other people would have been.
Cover.
Yeah, the other people would have been disappointed, so I didn't want to do that. But it's a lot of fun to watch people's reactions.
Well, we certainly had some reactions on the tour. Is there still any spots available still?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we're still selling tickets, and the last day actually is this Thursday at 5 p.m. And so we still have a bunch of spots available for all time slots, and we're hoping a lot more people start buying tickets. So,
great. And what will the tickets go towards?
So the tickets and the money is basically going towards the rebuilding of the museum. And we're hoping to get enough, well, we probably won't get enough donations for the whole thing because obviously it's so expensive, but we're trying to chip away at it. And it, hopefully it'll go to like the first phase, which is basically the cleaning out of the museum and trying to recover maybe some artifacts. And mm-hmm. just that's our plan so far, is just to get in there. And we need money to do that. So,
and we're selling t-shirts.
Yes, that's a big thing. We're selling these wonderful t-shirts.
Those are awesome.
I know. We have the bell tower right here, established 1893, and then on the back is the museum. And so we're hoping to sell those there, too.
And what's the best place for someone to go if they want to get a t-shirt or buy a ticket? Is that online or is that
yes.
in person, or how can they do
we
that?
We have the link on our Instagram and Facebook and also on our website. And so the t-shirts are actually going to be sold at the event, but we're going to have an online opportunity that's going to start that day. So we're going to make it published online that day, but you'll be able to purchase your t-shirt that day as well. So,
well, Suzette, have you felt anything while you've been inside of our office? Anything that gets the your spidey sense tingling?
Well, that thing that's
oh, is there something
behind the
sheet?
What is this? Kind of giving me.
Oh no! Oh no!